A very good afternoon and warm welcome to the second hour of the show. I think it's quite an exciting part for me because this is definitely one of the topics that are very, very close to my heart. Fatherhood. Yes, I'm a mom, but I know the scars of possibly, could I say, absent fathers. I know whenever I make mention of those, people don't believe me because, I mean, my parents are still married. But, you know, if I could tell my story, it's one of many scars. But, you know, in the end, I'm really, truly grateful, you know, for the Lord's doing, because now things are absolutely different. Yes, still a work in progress, but we are grateful to God for where the relationship is at this point in time. And so joining me once again, sadly, I believe it's the last time for this series, is Pastor Fikile Boka. So good afternoon and welcome back.
Good afternoon, Luko, and to you listening to Radio Pulpit 657 AM. My name is Fikile Boka. I am happy to be back here with you on Spectrum. Am I correct?
Yes, yeah. You've got it right.
Thank you very much.
Definitely is Spectrum. You see why I don't want to let you go. You're part of the planet. You even know that it's Spectrum.
Of course.
Imagine. So welcome back, Pastor Fix.
And thank you, Luko.
I think, like I said, fatherhood is a very important thing to me. It still is, because I think I'm a girl. Yes, I'm a woman now, but I'm
right.
A girl.
Right.
And I think that's one of the things we always long for. I saw something on Facebook. This gentleman says, a dad is a son's hero and a girl's best friend.
First love.
Yes. Yeah. Something to the effect. A dad's first love. You saw that post.
I've seen that before. Yeah.
Yes. And it's a girl's first love. And I think when that aspect is missing, it's one thing that you always just cling on to say, you know what, I'd love to see it happen. If,
correct.
You know, you shared with us, I think on the very first discussion we had, that, you know, the aspects of your father you missed, you behold with your husband and your children.
Yeah.
And you're like, you
thankfully.
Know what? So I think we always long for that until
right.
we see it somewhere. And
yes.
it's so beautiful that you get to live in that era and in that moment, actually, I must say.
Correct. And look, Luko, that is the gospel truth.
Mm.
I couldn't have said it any better myself. And the sad reality is that there are girls, women out there that unfortunately have not been as blessed as we are today, that God has, allowed us to come across men of honor like the husbands we have today that have come in and restored us and loved us. In fact, you know, hey, Liko, if I were to tell you, this is actually, I feel like I'm living an answered prayer.
Oh.
Because I used to pray for this.
I can imagine.
I used to pray. I used to say, Lord, give me a husband that will also not be tired to be a father to me and teach me what it is to be a father.
Mm.
Truthfully so, I did not know how to relate well with men because I was brought up in a predominantly
female household.
Mm. And I come from a very strong maternal family.
Okay.
Women in my family are fierce. They
okay.
are feisty. They are powerful. They are strong. And because we did not have that much presence of men in the family, there was that propensity, unfortunately, for our women to think that they are self-sufficient.
Of course.
And that is often the mistake that we make as women, that we are actually even able to say, you know what, I can do this thing without you.
Yeah.
I've seen my mother do it without my father. So
you
what
can go
would,
if you want.
Yeah.
Sure.
But truth is, there is an element that God has created that should be filled in a child's life by no one else but the father figure.
That's, like we were actually saying, I think last week or the other week, that no matter how well you play your motherly role,
yeah,
you're never going to be the dad.
Never.
You're never going to be the dad.
And course, trust me.
So there's always going to be that need.
Yeah.
So basically, last week we learned a bit more about the practicalities of father involvement, including the importance of play and how to create an emotional bond.
Yeah.
So maybe this week, you know, as we conclude or to conclude what we've been discussing, let's zoom out and discuss a few aspects of why father presence is important. Because, you know, dads and social fathers, their roles really, really matter.
Absolutely. Dads' roles matter. Fathers matter. In fact, I want to also emphasize, as you have just said, social fathers matter. Firstly, let's look at it this way, that it before we even delve on the fathers.
Okay.
I want it to be clear yet again today that we are not underplaying the role that mothers play.
Of course.
We are not underplaying the role that grandmothers, sisters, aunts, the maternals play in the lives of children. In fact, the reality is that both mother and father, or social father, are very important in the life of a child.
Yep.
So when I let me speak again to the aspect of a social father.
Yes, please.
What is a social father? A social father is that man who is present in the life of a child and may not necessarily be their biological father.
Okay.
We talk about a stepfather. And this is how I explain a stepfather. A stepfather is not just the man that got married to the mother of this child, but it's a man who stepped into the life of a child to be their father. They stepped in.
So if you're just mommy's husband and you're not playing the role, you're not a stepfather yet. I guess let's be honest about that.
Yeah, no, think again.
Because you haven't stepped up.
Yeah, no. If you are not present, you're not positive. Yeah. You're not active in the life of this child. You are not yet the stepfather that this child may require.
Yeah.
So social fathers include those men that we refer to as stepfathers. It refers to your teachers, the male teachers, that are there to play that role, to guide, to direct, to mentor, to mold our children in whatever way that they are able to, in a positive way. Of course, in this role, we are looking at people like your sports coaches. We are looking at pastors. Again, pastors play a huge role in being social fathers. And I think it was the first week when we spoke about social fathers that I mentioned that, you know, pastors play such a huge role. And sometimes we must be honest that the congregation can take up so much space in the hearts of the pastors that the children of the pastor sometimes do feel jealous.
Yeah.
But I want to then emphasize, speaking to pastors, and I know a lot of pastors listen to Radio Pulpit, right? Baruti, while you are nurturing the church, please don't forget that the church is not your wife. Ish. The church is someone else's wife.
Ish.
The church is the body of Christ. It is the bride of Christ. So while you are out there giving yourself off and out to the congregation as a social father, please do not forget that primarily your first church is your family.
Sure.
Your children need you. So I want to say to our pastors, especially the male pastors, that be careful not to become a public success and a private failure at the expense of your children. While you are social fathering all these children, please, Muruti, be mindful while you give your time off to the church that you become intentional to father your own children as well.
And you know what I like about this call you're making, Mamef? It's the fact that at some point, I find that Abaruti will also likely play that father role at church, because it's there at church and the hype is there, the public love is there. But at home, I know my dad. I know my dad's weaknesses. I know everything about my dad.
Yeah.
So it's important not only for you to just be my dad when you're at home, but also be my dad by being exemplary to me.
Exactly.
So when I'm expecting that dad at home, I'm expecting the dad to love me, but I'm also expecting the dad who walks righteously before me and exemplary for me to learn.
Very true.
Because that's part of bringing me up as a child.
Very true. Luko, growing up, I was a youth leader, then a youth pastor in our church. And we had this young person that served diligently with us.
Mm.
She was actually in our committee serving.
Okay.
But then I learned as I got to know the young people in my group a little better that actually this child is a PK.
All right.
She's a pastor's kid. So she stays at a mission house with the family.
Mm-hmm.
But she's left the mission house to come to a different church.
Okay.
So one day, as a leader, wanting, you know, being, you know, vested to the you know, people in the group, the constituency, I asked her, I said, girl, I see you are very committed and I love you. I want you to be in my team. I'm very proud of you. But I'm concerned. More than concerned, I'm curious.
Okay.
Why are you here while you stay at a mission house where your father is
serving
pastoring?
Elsewhere.
And Luko, the answer I got, I must say, I was never ready for.
You regretted asking.
I regretted asking. It broke my heart. Mm. And now that, in retrospect, I think perhaps this is one of the reasons I'm doing the work that I'm doing, because of some of the stories that I had. Now, let me tell you, I know, you know, someone listening saying, get to the answer already.
Yeah.
She says to me, Sis Fix, here's the problem. My father is a great preacher, very charismatic, loved by the people.
I was going to go to that loved by everyone else.
And she says, I love listening to my father. The problem, or rather, I love listening to the preacher who happens to be my father. The problem is when we get home and I see this disconnect and I ask myself, where is the guy that I saw preaching?
I
would have
Jesus.
Loved to go home with that man.
Sure.
Now we get home, he's a different man altogether.
Hey.
And she said to me, so it is the hypocrisy that I'm not able to live with. And so I thought, for the sake of my faith, if I am to keep up believing, let me rather find a different place and I'll deal with the issues when I get home.
Well,
I don't want to deal with this charismatic leader at church, but something else at home.
And this is not to say I probably won't find it in another place, but the truth is, at least I don't have to live with this truth that I know.
Correct.
That nudges me. And like you said, for the sake of my faith, so that I'm not disturbed.
Yeah, yeah. And so this is where then I realized, and I think my passion even grew the more for the clergy, to talk to the clergy as well, and children of the clergy to say, let's walk together.
Yeah.
And Bafundisi, how do we make right? Boma Moruti, how do we fix things so that we don't lose our children? Thank goodness this child didn't go wayward.
Because that's the worst case scenario.
Right?
They could have gone the other way to say, this thing is not legit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then again, Luko, research shows that a father who's positively present from the first days of a child's life will be more likely to develop a deep bond with their child and remain in the child's life.
Okay.
So this already tells us the story that I just told you now related. It's about a young person, youth.
Okay.
But here, research, what I'm referring to here, it's the research that we are given to say, if a father is there in
the
early
beginning.
Lives, from the beginning, then you run the possibility of being there even for longer. We are not saying it's fine, be absent, let mommy be present during the early years, and then you'll catch up during the youth years. Because, you see, by the time you come back and wanting to befriend them at 15, you are too late.
It's going to be difficult to close that gap.
They have already created and formed a mind frame. Their paradigm is already built in a particular way. True. And instead of embracing you, they may feel like they want to push you back. So we then strongly advise during the early years, this is where daddy needs to roll up the sleeves and get involved with this little one. In fact, it doesn't even start there. As we said the other week, at conception, while daddy plays with the belly, with the baby while in the belly, that bonding is very, very important. The other thing is that where a child does not have a father or a social father in their life, research shows that that child is a bigger risk of drug abuse, alcohol abuse, perhaps even early pregnancy. The chance and the risk of being involved in cycles of gender-based violence, either as a perpetrator or even as a victim.
True.
Now, these are the social ills that we are grappling with today in South Africa and the world. And we want to approach it at the level of GBV. We are approaching 16 days of
activism
against gender-based violence, right? We want to take it at that. Why men are beating up on women and whatever, and vice versa. Because, by the way, gender-based violence doesn't mean...
It's not female
it's
against
not
male.
No.
Or
no,
male
no.
against female.
It can even be female against male.
Yep.
Why is it like that? Part of it, research shows that it emanates from the absence of a father in the life of a child. Serious issues such as, you know, waywardness. We think, yes, as the church, we want to demonize this.
Okay.
And sometimes we don't realize that the root of that demonic influence is from the fact that father walked away. And can I speak about an uncomfortable truth?
Yes, please.
We have pastors today who've moved on with their lives. They are married. They have children that may have been a result of their youthfulness. They forgot 2 Timothy 2:22 when Paul said, flee youthful lust. Or they didn't even know about it.
Okay.
But the fact that you didn't know about the fact that you had to flee and you were involved in what you were involved in, it doesn't mean now that you've made a new family, you must forget about that. Part of making right is going back, honey, love, listen, Mama Ruti.
There's a human.
You know, I was once busy somewhere and this happened. Can we make right?
Yep.
Because it can't forever be sipiri sa bontlenyana, a secret that you have undofanai. Because one of the problems is that our children end up finding out about their siblings one way or the other.
Of course.
Or the church, of course, Sebase being in the pews. So let's make right. Brother, make right. Sister, make right. That's not your sibling. That's your child.
Of course.
You know? And those are some of the uncomfortable truths that we need to confront. But also, we must emphasize that these risks are just risk factors, but they are not a life sentence. So don't feel like you have a rock over your neck, you are sentenced to guti. You grew up without the involvement of your father, therefore you are going to be a victim of...
Turn out a certain...
No. I'm one to raise my hand first and say, thank goodness grace found me and I did not become part of the stats. You know? So while it may be a risk factor, it's not a sentence. And, and that many, many children raised by single mothers do not necessarily succumb to these risks, you know? So this is just to be clear that as a positively present father or a social father, contributes immensely towards stability and well-being in a child's life and should be involved where he can be.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But also this then doesn't mean we must just insist that the father must be there.
Okay.
They say in the world by hook or by crook. If you see that this man is not positive influence,
and it's going to damage the children more.
Well, maybe rather just, you know what? Let bygones be bygones.
Mm.
And rather allow, as a mother, and I'm speaking to mothers, just rather maybe allow the involvement of a social father. Mm. And I, again, going back to the subject of social fathers, brothers, grandfathers, they are social fathers as well. So rather than just exposing a child to someone who would make their life, the value of their life to deteriorate, all because kin tatangwana, you know.
Yep.
I don't know if you've heard teachings by Dr. Katite. He sometimes says, there's an animal called ntatangwana.
Okay.
Yeah, utatomtwana. Now, for the sake of utata mdwana, now mdwana must suffer because utata yake. You, uzamfunu utata, and you, sometimes you pay a very heavy price
for that.
So this is where, again, we are not pushing mothers away. We are saying, while we are promoting the active, positive presence of fathers in the lives of children, as a mother, you also need to come with a sober advice for the benefit of the child. Put your own personal issues aside, your personal vendettas aside, and say, what is the best for the child?
I think you've actually delved into the next question I was about to ask, because I was going to ask, you know, what advice would you give to mothers and, you know, female caregivers just to encourage hands-on father involvement?
Sure. Of course, the other day when we spoke up, we touched on this, and the emphasis then was that, as community and as females, let's try by all means that we do not ridicule men that get involved.
Yeah.
But it's also very important that we start by saying we are not saying a father should be involved at all costs, like I've already said. If the man is abusive, if they have a dangerous behavior, that does not benefit the child or does not serve the best interest of the child, then do not get the child exposed in such.
Yeah.
But we also then say that politics between parents should also never be a reason that a father who's capable of being positively present is denied the opportunity to create a strong and meaningful relationship with their child.
And I want to say this, Pastor Fix, edit. I'm sorry to say this, but politics also involves those nitty-gritties you think are the child's needs. Are they not the child's needs? Yes, they are. But the relationship should continue.
True.
Politics is you fighting. you don't feed her, so you don't get to see her.
Fagima Luzobo.
We're not looking for money daddies.
In fact, when we do our Heartlines Fathers Matter workshop, there's a module where we talk about ATM fathers. ATM fathers is the type of father that you want when they can provide.
Yep.
Now, let me paint a scenario. We live in South Africa where we talk about BEE, we talk about affirmative action. Now, let's suppose my husband and I have similar qualifications and similar age.
Okay.
And we are going for the same type of job. If an interview is called, a shortlisting is done, chances are that I am going to get shortlisted for the job. You know,
female,
supposing that all else is equal, ceteris paribus, right?
Okay.
Now, as a female in South Africa with affirmative action, AA, and all the likes, I stand a better chance to get the job than my male counterpart. Now, am I then purporting that because he is not legible for the job, he therefore cannot father? Certainly not.
Of course.
Fathering in this instance should be separated from provision. Fathering is a role. Provision is a responsibility. And those things, those two should be very clear from the onset, even while the child is young, you know. So, and this is where we talk about financial matters. You know, one of the courses again that we do at Heartlines is values and money. When we talk about finances, I mean, it must be clear, and that at some point, it's possible that the mother may be the one that's able to bring the cheese and not the father. Now, here's another point I want to bring, especially to married couples. You know, as pastors, as the church, we normally preach that the father is the provider. Look, I have a problem with that.
It's not even biblical.
Because it's not biblical. Yeah, no, maybe we should move to a session where we can open scriptures and debate about this and really hear what God says. The Bible I read, it says God is the provider.
Yeah, exactly.
And he uses whomever he will as a channel of blessing into the family whenever he would. So one season, it's my turn that God is using and partnering with me to bring cheese on the table. The other, it's my husband's. It may be my husband's turn to bring that croissant on the table.
And it croissant.
Listen, I asakulumi bread and butter manje. We're talking cheese real business. Croissant. Cheese and croissant, baby. Now, even with those economics on the table, we must be clear that it can be that Fagima Luzobona, ATM father. Because the child may not even be interested in that. The other week we touched on the aspect of the child is not so much interested in presents, in gifts, as much as he or she is interested in presents. Ubukona. You know, the whole being, totally, holistically, the father being involved, the mother being involved in the upbringing of their young one.
Wow. Now, can you share a few last words? I don't want to go out of this, but we're going to continue. Last words of encouragement for fathers and social fathers.
Yeah. I'd like to encourage fathers and say, be the father you wish you had. When you were growing up.
Can I disturb you at that?
Yes, ma'am.
One person posted something. It must have either been on TikTok or whatever these platforms are, Twitter. And it spoke, the question was around men. Why are you not present for your children? Did not one particular father say, I want that boy of mine to also experience what I experienced?
Oh, man.
And a minute when I did you see it? I thought to myself,
no, I saw a different one.
This is from a place of hurt.
A
father can't be that vile.
And I'm happy you brought that element, because in our workshop, there's another module that we deal with titled Father, Dealing with Father Wounds. Truth is, some fathers don't know how to father because they were never fathered. Now, I want to borrow something I heard from a workshop we held in Soweto with the pastors on Friday.
Okay.
And allow me to quote Muruti Raboroko, the retired pastor Raboroko. He mentioned something very powerful that really, you know, found space in my heart. He said, as a person, you need three people in your life. You need an Abraham as a father. You need a Silas as a friend.
Okay.
But you also need a Timothy as a mentee.
Okay.
Or as a son. And it made me to also recall some writings of John Maxwell when he talks about the 360 degrees leadership, that you must be able to lead horizontally and vertically, be able to lead upward, meaning be able to lead your superior, your senior. So you may find that there are young people that are actually a healing balm to some fathers who were never fathered, and they avail themselves to be fathered by these men that may otherwise think they are fumbling. But this young person is readily available to say, I'm ready to journey with you as a son, as a Timothy. My father, a Gentile, might not be available, but I recognize you, Paul, that you are a father that can walk the journey with me. And it's a matter of iniga-niga in the church especially, that young men need to be vulnerable to fathers that can walk with them. But also men in the church and in the community need to allow themselves to be vulnerable and to make those mistakes, failing forward. To say, I'm going to try
failing
this fathering
forward.
Yeah.
I love fail trying.
There
must be an effort, man.
Intentionally so. So we also want to say that fathers, you can learn to be a good father. It's not a natural phenomenon as we think of it. Right? Maybe God intended it for it to be natural. But it got lost somewhere.
Of course.
But it can
got
be relearned.
Lost in translation.
So as much as you can learn, you can also unlearn to relearn certain habits. So you can learn to be a good father. And thankfully, you know, as we've been saying, there is good information out there, like the Father's Matter Coach. It's a good start. Type out that message. If you are scared to ask a physical Abraham that you see in your vicinity that can mentor you, type out to Father's Matter Coach and ask them, hey, daughter, what do I do now? I'm dealing with a teenage girl. How do I go about? I'm dealing with a boy. How do I go about? And your kids will be so much richer for having a hands-on father, you know? And if you are living far away from your kids, please don't use this as an excuse for not being there and, you know, for being...
Absent.
Make technology work for you.
Exactly.
Strong supportive presence in your life or in the lives of your children can be done through technology.
That's the beautiful part.
But also the broader community. It's a pity, Luko Uguti, you know, things seem to deteriorate from how we were brought up. Previously, it was a common thing that a child belongs to the community, and that umama was next door could call you to order. But unfortunately, we don't see that happening that much. So, but we have to be intentional. For instance, church is a community. Allow your children to be vulnerable in a good way to other fathers in the church, especially if you're a single woman. Allow the child to visit with your trusted you know, male friends in the church, brothers in the church, so that they can coach this child on. Now, before I came here earlier on, somebody sent me some messages about fathers. And they said, you know, I came across this on social media and I thought of you because of the work that you do. And I'm going to paraphrase. He says, this man wrote that, I was brought up by my mother, very loving. My father was absent. But I realized that growing up as a young man, I grew up very much soft because my mother loved me. And I loved the fact that my mother loved me. Now, in the process, I missed out on things that I believe a father or a father figure could have taught me. Then he says, at some point, I was a laughing stock whenever I met with my peers. At 17, I couldn't even lift up a 20 liters of water because my mother always protected me and actually overcompensated. When I could have fixed this or that or the other, my mother always felt she could pay for it.
So the feminine side was more dominant.
More pronounced. Yes. So we need to allow even our single sisters, allow yourself to let your child, especially the boy child, be mentored by a man that can show them some roles of being a man. I'm not necessarily emphasizing on gender roles per se.
Yeah.
But I do want us to admit that, look, we are women, yes?
Yeah, yeah.
And let's embrace our femininity.
Yeah.
And allow the fact that there are certain things that only men can enforce in our children, even over our girl children. Do you know how much it means for a girl child to hear their father or their father figure say, you are beautiful?
Imagine.
You are special.
It's everything. It's everything, actually.
Yeah, so let's not be those gatekeepers. Because we missed having the fathers active in our lives, let's not let our children get the raw stick of life like that.
Sure.
Society would be better off if there was, you know, a more equal distribution of responsibilities, especially when it comes to parenting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, just before I say goodbye, we are running out of time. I think two things I'd like to request from you.
Yes, ma'am.
Maaf, it's one, if you can give us a website or, you know, whatever, where we can get more of this material and lessons.
Correct.
And also, Father Coach, please.
Yes.
The contact number.
Absolutely. So our website, Father's Meta website, www.fathersmeta.org.za. Our resources are available and we have loads and loads of resources that are free to our communities out there. But also, what you can do is that perhaps, you know, you've heard me talk about training, workshop, talks that we do as Hotlines and in particular Fathers Matter. Get in touch through the website. You can just maybe on contact us, call the office and find out who the rep, the community rep in your community could be that can then help you to set up a workshop that they can come and facilitate and bring these resources to the people. You know, you are free to download all these resources that I'm talking about. You've heard me say this module, that module, you know, on dealing with father wounds, on access, on, you know, ATM fathers and the likes. The list just goes on. So, yes, do make use of those resources. And, of course, the Fathers Matter Coach on WhatsApp, you save the number 060-058-2107. You save it to your phone and then you send via WhatsApp the message, hi. And then the conversation starts like that.
Okay.
So it will be a prompt that the Father's Meta Coach admin will ask you so that the type of messages they send you are relevant to the children you are fathering.
Okay.
And by the way, even as women, you can sign up on the Father's Meta Coach.
See?
I have oftentimes I do ask the Father's Meta Coach. And we've got good, listen, even if I have to say so myself. We have very good content. Graphics, videos that you can also put on your WhatsApp story. Encourage a father who's feeling down, who doesn't know how to go about this fathering business. So help is out there. Please don't despair.
Pretty please. Pastor Fix, thank you so much. And thank you for coming through diligently all these other weeks. Really, really appreciate it. And God bless you for the great work you're doing.
Thank you very much. Have a blessed time. You are a great host.
Thank you so much. Well, that's about it from me as well. We're going to have news at 6 o'clock and then I hand over to Dwayne van Rensburg officially. So, we give it a name, call it a day. God bless.
Give your faith wings. Explore life with 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, a companion for those who need encouragement. Listen to us on our app or visit radiopulpit.co.za.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.